I want to see what Jonathan Colton's doing right now.
Hello, Ophira. Hi.
Hi, Jonathan Colton. This is host of NPR's Ask Me Another, Ophira Eisenberg, checking in.
Yes, I know. That's why I said hello, Ophira.
I know. Yeah. I'm just thinking about you. What are you up to these days?
I'm up to about 10, 12 pounds over my standard weight. That's what I'm up to.
Oh, this is where we're at.
I have taken the strategy of eating whatever I want and drinking whenever I want.
Yeah.
And it has not worked out so well for me in the weight department. And so I have just, as they say, diet starts Monday. Just this week, I started taking note of what I eat. That is a very small step.
No, that's huge.
The first step
is to acknowledge. To notice.
And it's frankly, it's a nightmare. Once you start.
Oh, yeah.
Once I started taking note, I'm like, oh, no wonder.
Well, I have to say, I too have just allowed myself to eat whatever I want and drink whatever I want.
There's a hole inside and it needs to be filled with something.
Like, I'm a fast eater anyways, but I sit down for dinner and it's like gone. Like, my husband's picking up his fork to take his first bite and I'm like, that was good.
Well, you grew up with a lot of brothers and sisters, right?
Yeah, but this is Olympic level. So have you already logged this stuff in?
I've just started logging. Yeah. I've just started logging. And I'm doing okay. You want to know what it was today?
Yes.
Let's see what it was today. Where's my phone?
Yeah, read it.
Here we go. So this morning, coffee.
Yeah.
That's free.
That's zero. Zero, zero.
That's nothing.
Wait a second. Do you have milk in that coffee?
Well, yeah. That's the thing, is I put half and half in my coffee. No, I counted it. So I probably had four tablespoons of half and half.
Okay. Yep.
Oh, boy. I'm already feeling guilty. So that's my breakfast, is 80 calories for four tablespoons of half and half. As breakfast.
Why don't you just put a scoop of ice cream? Just scoop of ice cream right in that coffee.
I mean, that's delicious. Lunch, homemade white chicken chili with northern beans.
Oh, that sounds good.
Cup and a half of that. 12 rainbow baby carrots.
12?
12.
You sound like a model.
Well, I still wanted to put something in my mouth.
Right.
And that's exactly the moment where, like, I would have a meal, and then I'd be like, oh, maybe I'll also have a hot dog.
Which is done. As your dessert.
That's right. And then I just ate an apple, which I haven't logged yet, but I'm going to log that.
Okay, log that apple. Get that in there. I don't want you to forget. But then a theme song? Burn a few calories with a theme song?
Yeah, that's a good idea. A little theme song workout. Here we go. From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from our respective homes in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and 95 Calorie Fruits. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Wow, 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 wow. This week on the show, we have the founder of the Wu-Tang Clan, RZA. That's right. And you know what? We play a game with them that nobody else has the guts to play. It's called Is It a Lizard? Also on the show, cartoonist and creator of Hulu's Woke, Keith Knight, battles his twin sister in an unexpected second round of Brady Bunch trivia. And we're kicking things off with two truly wonderful friend-testants, the host of the talk show Busy Tonight and the podcast Busy Phillips Is Doing Her Best, Busy Phillips, and comedy writer Shantira Jackson, who used to write for this very show before she left us to work for Busy. And you know what? She never calls, she never writes. We had to book her on this show just to find out how she's doing. So nice to see you again, Shantira. It's been a while.
It's been the 2 years since I left New York.
I know.
Crazy.
And Busy, so nice to meet you. I will say that I was like, what am I going to say I like you from? And then I was like, oh, everything?
Thank you.
I feel like so everything nice. You've done is like one of the things that I love the most.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, so, you know, you recently started a podcast. It's called Busy Phillips Is Doing Her Best.
Yes.
Shantira is a huge part of that podcast.
She is, thankfully.
Yes. It's very fun.
And so you interview celebrities and people of note and just talk about how people are pivoting and doing their best. And it is very timely to now. But you started this podcast before.
Well, I feel like we sold it almost a year ago. I think it was October of last year. You know, basically, we had a whole idea for a new way of doing things and making stuff. And we were working on this really big project that had a lot of moving parts. And we had like our big meeting with all of these money people in New York that was scheduled for March 16th.
Wow.
And that was that, you know? And so we spent
timing.
Yeah, you know, whatever. I feel very blessed in my life to be a person that's able to have perspective and self-awareness. And Shantira and I had been talking a little bit during that time. Also, just like we've kept in touch since Busy Tonight. And I always just loved, like, our writer's room in Busy Tonight was really small. It was only three writers, which for those of you at home, that's literally insane.
Yeah. It's like, very small. I think we had more writers doing SB Another than we did for Busy Tonight.
Probably true. Yeah.
But just to be clear, they were being paid less.
Absolutely. This is true. I was paid less.
I mean, no one was making a ton of money over it, which is why it was so confusing that they canceled us, because I was like, guys, this show is free. I don't know.
Exactly.
It's just crazy. The shoestring that we were managing to do that, you know, I feel like was a really successful show at the, you know.
But nobody uses the term like indie talk show. Nobody uses that term.
No, but it really was an indie talk show. That's like what it was.
We definitely should have gotten the Independent Spirit Award. 100%.
Yeah. Shantira, we should have.
100%.
If only we could go back in time.
Let's get to some games. We got to get to some games, people.
Okay, can I say one more thing, though, about the podcast
Please.
Before we go? I have a theme song that I sing, and Mr. Jonathan Colton wrote the theme song for me to
sing. How did you not tell
correct.
Us this? In all of our meetings, Jonathan, talking about Busy and getting ready for this, you felt no need to just mention that.
I don't like to brag. I don't like to brag.
I would have told everybody.
I know. I'd be bragging.
I love that. Good. The full picture. Okay. So in your first game, you're going to work together in this one.
Okay.
I know. Shantira kind of knows the drill, obviously, but you're going to work together with this one. This is a word game. So those are typically on the tougher side, but it's also about famous people and alcohol.
Great. So, two things I love.
Right.
Yeah, let's go. This is my vibe. And not even in any particular order, depending on the day.
Yeah. I'll take either. Both of them lift my spirits always.
Nice. So we're going to give you a cocktail recipe that describes a mashup of a cocktail and the name of a celebrity. And you are going to give us the mashup.
I'm ready. Heads up. I drink whiskeys neat. So I don't know if we're going to be the best at mixing. Let's go, baby.
You'll be okay. Here's your first one. Okay, mix rum, curacao, orzat, and fresh lime juice, and serve it to the supermodel and new host of Dancing with the Stars, and maybe you'll get a smize out of her.
Okay, I know it's Tyra Banks.
Right.
My
Tyra Banks.
My Tyra Banks.
Yay!
That's right.
Yay!
That's right. Ooh. Yeah,
I
exciting.
Love it. That was teamwork, Shantira.
Yeah. That was true teamwork.
Yeah,
it was.
I was like, okay.
You know that my grandmother, my dad's mom, my parents lived in Hawaii because my dad was in the Navy. Mm-hmm. And she used to like to go to the Pink Hotel, and she called them high ties. And not Mai Tais, high tides. I think because after one, she started saying high tides. And I'll have another high tide instead of Mai Tai. And so I always call them high tides.
High tides
whenever I'm
great.
In Hawaii, I go to the Pink Hotel and I have one in her honor.
Oh, that's very nice. Here's another cocktail celebrity mashup. This drink is a hot mess. White rum, tequila, gin, triple sec, vodka, and cola, garnished with a Liz Lemon.
Garnished with a Liz Lemon.
So that is Tina Fey,
Right. This is one of those drinks that has everything in it.
Yeah,
they
like
mix tequila, like
a Long Island Tina Fey.
You got it.
That is correct.
Right, we got it. Long Island Ice Tina Fey.
I'm really enjoying watching the machine go in this game.
It's so exciting.
Have you ever had a Long Island iced tea, Shantira?
Yes, I'm from Florida.
Sometimes I forget.
I went to a public university in Florida. That's the first thing I drank. Tallahassee in the house, baby. Tallahassee in the house.
All right, here you go. Mix white rum with muddled mint, lime juice, simple syrup, and club soda, and you'll get a refreshing drink that's perfect after a long day of skateboarding in the X Games.
Tony Hawk? It's muddled rum.
Mojito?
Mojito Tony Hawk.
Yes!
Oh my God, you did it. Mojito Tony Hawk.
That was beautiful.
I'm like, I got the two things. I know the drink and the celebrity, but for some reason my brain stopped there.
I couldn't get either of those. I was like, I love skateboarding too. I was like, who do I know who's famous skateboarder? I'm sorry, Tony.
All right. This is a classic drink for a classic pop artist and Andy Warhol contemporary. Scotch, sweet vermouth, and a few dashes of bitters. Serve it to the subject of Crying Girl. She looks like she could use it despite living in a comic strip.
Jonathan, this one's too hard.
That's a lot of words.
We're too young. We don't know any of these things.
Do you know the cocktail, scotch and sweet vermouth?
No, I don't. I don't know the answer to this.
Based on a Scottish folk hero,
it's... Hold on, I'm thinking.
I 100% am not thinking.
Okay.
Sometimes that's a good strategy.
Oh, a Rob Roy.
Yes.
Rob Roy Lichtenstein.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Rob Roy Lichtenstein.
You just have to get one, so then you can.
And then you're done. You're in.
Shout out to Busy. I did not know the answer to either of those.
We did good on that, though.
I'm fantastic. We have more with Busy and Shantira after the break, and later, RZA. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor TD Ameritrade. In unprecedented times, access to the right information can help you make better informed investing decisions. That's why TD Ameritrade is committed to providing a range of relevant educational content, from timely articles, informative webcasts, and access to daily live market news, so you can stay on the path to becoming a smarter investor. Learn more at tdameritrade.com/markethub. TD Ameritrade, where smart investors get smarter. This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp, the online counseling service dedicated to connecting you with a licensed counselor to help you overcome whatever stands in the way of your happiness. Fill out a questionnaire and get matched with a professional tailored to your needs. And if you aren't satisfied with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time free of charge. Visit betterhelp.com/ask to get 10% off your first month. Get the help you deserve with BetterHelp.
On Facebook, there are these three brothers who love guns, say guns are overregulated, say the NRA is too quick to compromise.
And they're gaining more followers every day.
They're very in-your-face and offensive, and by God, I love them for it.
Listen now to the No Compromise podcast from NPR.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, Cocktails, and Celebrities. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
That's right, Jonathan. We're playing games with the host of Busy Phillips is Doing Her Best, Busy Phillips, and our friend, comedy writer Shantira Jackson. But before we move on, Shantira, I gotta ask you, is that a rabbit behind you?
Oh, yeah, we have a rabbit. We have a rabbit. Her name is Juniper. She is a divorcee who lives in our home. Quick background on my rabbit, Juniper.
Okay.
My partner got this rabbit, this little angel baby, from a shelter. And her background is that she used to be married to an all-white rabbit, cis male rabbit. And she had like a couple of his babies. And then she was like, you know what? This is over. Also, I'm very LA. We talked to a pet psychic, and the pet psychic.
You're not the
first
person.
This is not the first time this has come up on the show.
The pet psychic said that Juniper is living her best life right now as a single queer woman. we were like, should we be petting her more? And then the lady literally said, Juniper went, ew, no. Don't you know that if you hold me too hard, I could die? Do not touch me anymore.
Oh my
wow.
God.
Wow. Strong Juniper. Words from Juniper.
So Juniper is like really a diva. She's like, I want to eat bok choy. You can pet me, but do not hold me too much. And I'm like, girl, same. Okay. I love it.
Fine.
I want to eat bok choy. You can pet me. Do not hold me too much.
She's a rabbit who knows what she wants.
Yeah.
She really is.
So, okay, we have another quick game for you. No more working together. No more working together.
Oh, okay. Oh, no.
So this is great because we're going to do a music parody game.
Ooh, yay.
And it's all about you, Jonathan Coulton.
It is all about me. We have changed the lyrics to Beatles songs to make them about insects, arachnids, creepy crawlies, and so on. All right. And we're going to go back and forth. And Busy, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
In the summer, I'll blight you, annoy you, and bite you, and leave bumps on your skin.
I hate them so much.
Citronella or spray will not keep me away. Somehow I will find my way in.
I mean, mosquito.
Mosquito is correct, yes. And the song was All My Loving.
And you know what's such a bummer? It's my least favorite of all of the insects.
It's not a very well-beloved insect, to be honest.
No, but one of the reasons why I loved L.A. until this past year was because we had no mosquitoes, and now we have mosquitoes everywhere.
Yeah.
So now there's no reason to stay in L.A. Let's go on.
All right, so Shantira, this one is for you.
Okay. Whew.
I live on your dog, or should I say your dog has me. I jump very high. That's a good thing because I don't fly.
That's a flea, baby, right?
Flea. It is definitely a flea. That's correct.
That is a flea.
And do you know the song, just for funs?
Do I know the song? Okay, I'm going to be super honest with you. I only know Beatles songs from commercials. I did not grow up to Beatles. So if it wasn't in a commercial at some point in the last 10 years...
It's fine.
I don't know it.
That was Norwegian Wood.
Yeah, 100% never heard that song ever in my whole life. But if they tried to sell Tide with it, I'm your girl.
Busy, this one is for you.
I'm excited.
In the hive, there is a swarm of fuzzy, buzzy things. They're making wax and royal jelly for the queen. And in the garden, they explore the scene as they pollinate. The stripes look great.
Honeybees are in my mind.
Yes. Yes. Well nice. Done, bees.
They look good in horizontal stripes, which I've always held against them.
Yeah. It's true. It's hard to pull that
fur.
Off.
They wear fur all year long. They're thriving.
Yeah. All right, Shantira, this is the last one, and it is for you.
Okay. Whew.
Here we go. Hiding in the web, there's a big surprise. Sitting still with eight legs and eight eyes. Waits for flies. I know it's not an insect. Please don't write us to complain.
It's one of the best rhymes of all time.
Here we go. I'm really proud of myself because it's... A spider web in the middle of the night.
Yeah. That is
and
right.
That is a blackberry, baby, who has been used in a commercial.
Yeah, okay. See? There you go.
There you go. both did amazing in the music game, knowing your Beatles and your Insects to enough of a degree that is acceptable to gain all of the points and win. That's what the point is.
Thank you. I needed a win. I needed a win.
We all need a win, Shantira. We all need a win.
It's very true. Very true.
I feel like this was my best. So thank you so much. Thank you, Busy Phillips. Thank you, Shantira Jackson. Such a pleasure to see you again and meet you, Busy.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Busy's podcast is called Busy Phillips is Doing Her Best. Our next two contestants are also our first sibling duo since the Before Times. Cartoonist Keith Knight co-created the new Hulu series Woke, inspired by his own life, and he's playing against his real-life, quote, evil twin sister, Tracy, who appears as a character in his strip, The K Chronicles. Keith, Tracy, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Hello.
Hello.
Congratulations on Woke. It debuted on Hulu, what, September 9th?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Love it. I feel like it already has received rave reviews.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't be happier with the reception and just like, just the fact that it finally got to the point where it came out. This is a moment right now for you know, Black creators. The door is open to Hollywood right now. And I just, it's going to take two flops for them to close the door. And I just didn't want to be one of the flops, you know?
It's a lot of pressure where they go, this is the voice that represents all of these people.
Exactly, exactly. The pressure is on.
So, Tracy, I have to ask, just so I know where you are at, you recently enrolled at the University of Hawaii?
I did. I'm taking some psychology courses and some Hawaiian history and culture courses, and yeah, I'm excited.
Okay.
See, and this is what I am envious about my evil twin sister, which is... She does so many different things and has had so many jobs. The only thing I've done is I was a Michael Jackson impersonator and then I was a cartoonist. Like, that's really the extent of my existence.
You know what? You can't really just slip, I was a Michael Jackson impersonator, just like slide that in and then we're all just going to be like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, so anyways.
It was a very brief, there was one brief moment.
It was brief, but spectacular.
It was brief, but spectacular. So in our high school, we have a variety show every year. And the stars of the show are always the Black male dance group. And the finale of the show was supposed to be a recreation of Thriller. And so they were going to have tryouts to be Michael Jackson. And at lunch, someone said, Keith, you'd make a good Michael Jackson. And one of my friends said, nah, he's too skinny to be Michael Jackson. Which is kind of a weird thing to say.
How skinny were you? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I
was skinny.
Guy.
I was skinny, though. And when I went there to try out, it turned out that that guy who made fun of me wanted to do it, too. And he got it. They wouldn't even let me try out. The guy just gave it to him. And here's the thing. We were both in the same dancing crew. So we practiced in our breakdancing outfits. But on the day of the show... I came not in my breakdancing outfit, but in my Billie Jean outfit. And I did not breakdance. I did all my Michael Jackson moves. And this is before the finale. So I got to do it first. And at the end of it, all these people were hiring me to be Michael Jackson at birthday parties and at fairs and events.
That is so crazy.
And I made more money then than I make now.
Okay, so here's what we have for you, because we decided, you know what medium works great for cartoons? Radio. We are going to give you dialogue from some of the most famous newspaper comic strips ever.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is identify the strip. Now, I know that Keith kind of has an unfair advantage in this one, Tracy.
Yeah, this is going to go well for me. I can tell.
But I think it's going to be fine because you're going to work together as a team
okay.
on this one. On this
easy.
One. Okay. Where did this quote come from? Spaghetti, beans, egg, peanut butter, and avocado should make a good sandwich.
This is from a cartoon?
Yep. And actually, there is a sandwich that is a huge sandwich.
Oh, a giant sandwich. Oh, okay.
A giant sandwich named after.
So, Tracy, this is a very old school cartoon. This is one of those cartoons where the creator has died decades ago and they put somebody else on it. And any new cartoonist who tries to get in is gets completely frustrated because they have cartoons from 75 years ago.
I don't know.
It's Blondie, right? Blondie?
Yep, Blondie.
Dagwood. You know Dagwood Bumstead with the giant sandwiches? Yeah,
Tracy's like, I don't even like comics.
I know. That's true.
All right, here is another question for you. This comes from a groundbreaking strip from the early 1900s. Oi, Ignatz, Angel, look, a nice little love tokens I got for you. A nice, new, fresh 1918 models brick.
So this cartoonist actually was a black man passing as a white man to get into the newspaper and stuff like that. But he is known as one of the greatest cartoonists of all time. Are we guessing the cartoon or the cartoonist?
It doesn't matter.
So for, you know, yes, give us the cartoon.
Okay, it's my initials, Tracy.
Oh, you're expecting me to guess?
I'm just throwing them out there for you. Yeah. Come on.
You're throwing up, you're lobbing them up and you're expecting me to hit them. Do you remember me in Little League? It's not going to happen. Well,
it is Crazy Cat, and it's the cartoonist is George Harriman.
That is correct.
George Harriman.
All right, here's a quote from a beloved comic strip that wrapped up 25 years ago. I like to verb words. I take nouns and adjectives and use them as verbs. Remember when access was a thing? Now it's something you do. It got verbed.
Calvin and Hobbes. That's what I would say.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes. Calvin and Hobbes is like, that is the ultimate. Every cartoonist, if we could get anywhere near what Bill Watterson created, because he's one of those rare combinations of, you know, cartoonists either they're really great writers or they're really great artists. And he's that perfect combination of both.
And artistic integrity.
Yeah. He's like the punk. He's the like the only cartoonist punk out there. Is like, no, I don't want product, you know? And I'm gonna go out. I don't wanna be some old man doing the same thing. Like he was definitely punk rock, so good for him.
Is that a cuckoo clock?
That was the cuckoo clock. I am married to a German from the Black Forest, which is where they were invented, and we have to have a cuckoo clock in the house at all times.
My mother is Dutch, and I grew up with that sound. That is a very familiar and homey sound to me. We have another game for you because, you know, this is what happened. When we ask guests, we go, hey, you're going to come on the show, and we'd love to play a game with you. What are you into? You said Brady Bunch.
I did say Brady Bunch because when we were growing up, my two sisters, we had a station called Channel 56 that would rerun the Brady Bunch, I think twice a day, like back to back. And so we would have to watch it every day.
Tracy, did you watch a lot of Brady Bunch because you liked it?
Yeah, I don't know why. I watched that. Yeah. I watched Gilligan's Island. I watched... Partridge
now, Gilligan's
Family.
Island is a very problematic show because I don't understand why anyone thought that people in quicksand was funny.
Oh, that was everything. Oh, you're right.
A few times a week, somebody would fall in quicksand.
Yeah.
So we're putting your Brady Bunch knowledge to the test in a true-false game called A Very Brady Trivia Sequel. Our listeners may remember we recently played a Brady Bunch game with John Early. Who knew the subject would come up again so soon?
There you go.
Okay, Tracy, the first one is for you. True or false? Ann B. Davis, who played Alice the housekeeper, has an identical twin sister.
She has a twin. And did you mean in real life or on the show?
In real life.
True.
True is correct. Yes. And they did have a episode that featured Alice's identical cousin, Emma, but that character actually was also played
by Ann B. Davis.
I guess because her twin didn't go
maybe
to
she couldn't
school.
Act.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. All right, Keith, this one is for you. The
no
dad,
no
Mike
pressure.
Brady,
yep.
does not appear in the final episode of The Brady Bunch because actor Robert Reed objected to the episode's implausible storyline about a bottle of hair tonic that turns Greg's hair bright orange. True or false?
I would say false.
It's true!
Are you serious?
Tracy is right. It is absolutely true.
All right.
Yeah, how did you know that, Tracy?
Yeah, how'd you know?
I am a pile of useless information right here.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Paying off in a big way.
All right, Tracy, the oldest brother, Greg's role was reduced in a season 4 episode when actor Barry Williams arrived to the set completely stoned. True or false?
I'm going to say false.
It's true.
Whoa.
Yeah, Williams totally admits to this. He says that it was his day off, but he was suddenly called back for reshoots.
Wow.
I mean, who among us?
Yeah.
You know.
There's the cuckoo clock.
There's the cuckoo clock.
And you know what that sound means. It's time for your last question.
Exactly.
Keith, this is for you. The youngest brother, Bobby Brady, was played by Mike Lookinland. And Mike Lookinland's son played Mike Lookinland in a TV movie about the making of the Brady Bunch.
No, he didn't. Because wouldn't they have to dye his hair blonde like they did Mike Lookinland, who was blonde in the original one?
That's going to stop things? That's going to stop things in Hollywood?
Plausibility is going to stop this?
Okay, it's true.
You are right. I begrudgingly give you the point. It is true.
Okay.
Just for the record, they dyed Mike Lookinland's hair brown. He was already blonde.
Oh, he was blonde and they dyed
brown. Yeah, he was blonde. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. He's blonde and they had to do
just check
brown. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with that I won. I'm hoping.
She did win.
Thank you.
I don't know what I'm going to tell my kids, but, you know, Auntie Tracy won.
I think you can say that you won the first game and Auntie Tracy won the second game.
Oh, that's a great way of saying it.
That's reasonable.
I was very impressed with the first game. I think that's so cool that you knew what it is that you've been doing for. Yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
It's a real backhanded compliment right there.
Thank you so much for joining us, Keith Knight, Tracy Knight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Keith's new show, Woke, is streaming on Hulu. After the break, we are so excited. RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan is here, and he'll play a game that we've been looking forward to for a long time. It's called Is It a Lizard with RZA? I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Walton Family Foundation, where opportunity takes root. More information is available at waltonfamilyfoundation.org. Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, developing solutions to support strong families and communities to help ensure a brighter future for America's children. More information is available at aecf.org.
The way things are going right now, even if you can keep track of what's happening in the news, it's hard to know why it's happening, what it really means. That's why we have created a daily podcast that answers your questions about the news in about 10 minutes every weekday. It's called Consider This. New episodes every weekday afternoon from NPR.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. Our guest today is RZA. Inspired by kung fu movies that he watched as a kid, RZA founded the legendary hip-hop group, the Wu-Tang Clan. And not only does he love movies, he makes them. His latest is called Cutthroat City, and he's sharing his love of film with a project called 36 Cinema, streaming movies with live commentary. RZA, welcome to Ask Me Another.
Bong bong, how you doing today?
RZA, such an absolute honor to talk to you. I know that you've been pretty busy. I've actually was listening to some you talking in some interviews, saying that you know during this time you've been doing a lot through Zoom.
Yeah, Zoom is the new way of communication. is actually the way we work now. So I've been on Zoom calls and meetings like back to back and press interviews and all that.
And writers' rooms.
We had two writers' rooms being ran through Zoom. At first it was one, but it was too many people and it started getting
out of control. So this is for Wu-Tang and American Saga season 2, correct?
Yes, indeed.
So what is it like writing and being part of a fictionalized version of your own life?
Yeah, I like to call it a dramatized.
Yeah.
And forgive my pronunciations. One thing I think I'm known for is pronouncing words in my own way. But we take in truth and we are getting a chance to play with it, expound upon it, and also set it in unique settings. I think what we strive to do with this particular show was tell the story the same way that Wu-Tang Music told his story. And if you listen to Wu-Tang Music, when you hear the Kung Fu samples, or you hear the lyric, "I bomb atomically, Socrates' philosophies and hypotheses can't define it, I'll be dropping these mockeries," lyrically performed on robbery, that's a lot of images into a lyric. And so through the show, we would say, well, we could play with martial arts, we could play with animation, we could play with Socrates could appear in our show, in all reality, if we wanted to use something to continue to tell the story.
And when you were filming season 1, you were in Staten Island, right?
Yeah, we filmed in Staten Island in our old neighborhood. The best part about that, the best part, is that we went to the old apartment, a rented house that I lived in. That was where, we would hang in that basement and make music. And we went back to the old house and, the people who allowed us to come in, and a lot of it was still the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They changed a few things, but this one particular thing was this stained glass window that was there.
Oh, yeah.
And we used the exteriors, of course, for shooting, but we rebuilt the interior on a stage. And it was amazing, when my sisters and my brothers would come to set and they would, see this place to be transformed back to the original. And one of the production designers, he actually had to talk to my sister, and she had old pictures from when we was kids. And so he got the floor right, the wall, the paint. Yes. He got it all right because she had these pictures. And when she came and saw it, it brought tears to her eyes and brought tears to my brother.
And I'm sure at that point, did you all start trading stories that, maybe you hadn't even thought of in years, kind of thing?
We had dinners, family dinners, and we would bring it up and we would tell stories. And, one thing I had to be careful of, though, is a family member, wanting to come and write an episode, what I mean?
Right.
Trying to stick something in there. And look, this is not about our family. This is a Wu-Tang show. We don't care about the day you lost your shoe and the dog hit a hole. That's not making the series. That was one of the purpose.
So you're also a film director, and you have a new film out called Cutthroat City. So this film is about four childhood friends who are forced into committing crime to survive in New Orleans and the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. So why were you attracted to a script that was dealing with Hurricane Katrina?
Yeah, I mean, look, Hurricane Katrina was a national tragedy, right? 15 years ago. It really devastated New Orleans, and especially the Black community really caught the short end of the stick. And when I first read the screenplay by Paul CJ, he had I think some of the things that inspired this entire film for him as a writer was a couple of articles about these truck stop robberies. And yeah, what resonated with me was the story of the four men, four young men, and not the crime aspect of it. The point of the matter that they were not criminals. And so that part related to me because that's in almost every community. That happened in my community. The chances of aspirations turning to desperation was a common denominator for the Black community and for poverty communities.
You say that Quentin Tarantino basically taught you.
Yeah, I'll call myself a student of Mr. Quentin Tarantino, and I proudly would say that. And I say it humbly that I took him on as a teacher.
And then in the first scene of this movie, you have your characters criticize Quentin Tarantino films.
That's right. That's right. That's funny. You know, I hope he sees it. I don't know if he's sick. I know he's going to be dying laughing. You know, we have our own sense of humor. We spent a lot of time laughing together. And I'm sure that based on our relationship and based on our sense of humor, he's going to get a kick out of that.
Right. And you also became friends with action movie director John Woo, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I sampled his music for the Raekwon's album, Only Built for Cuban Links.
Yeah.
And at the time, sampling was really unknown to me, like far as the law and the
copyright. And yeah.
Everybody just did whatever they.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that you can't do this, so you can't do that. But I was informed that, you know, that this might be a problem. And I was like, well, why? And we wrote John a beautiful letter. And he responded to the letter. And he came to New York and he invited me to dinner. And we sat down.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we sat down and talked. I was the biggest John Woo fan, you know. He just became that first director that I was able to talk to about storytelling and filmmaking.
Does he give you directorial advice, or in the beginning did he say, you know, go look at this or you know, watch this kind of movie?
Yeah.
In
the beginning, he gave me a lot of advice. And even and John's advice to filmmakers is study the films in the 70s.
Hmm.
He said because the freedom of filmmaking had its prime in the 70s. And I do to this day. I always, you know, once a week, there's a 70s film being played.
And then, of course, you've scored films for Quentin Tarantino and Jim Jarmusch, and then, obviously, for your own films. And how did you find yourself doing an ice cream jingle?
That is
you
my favorite thing.
You composed an ice cream jingle for the Good Humor ice cream company.
Let me give Good Humor the credit, because Turkey in the Store was a jingle that was in most of our ice cream trucks. And it was originally, it was an Irish folk song that made its way to America. But in the case of the Turkey in the Straw, they took it and they made it derogative and they made it a racial slur, comment, and mockery of Black men and women in America. And they discovered the history of it and they said, let's do something about it. And they reached out to me and the idea was like, look, we can't change history. Right. But
it's like, we can actually fix this.
Yeah, we can fix it.
Well, let's I think we have it. Let's hear it. It does sound, you know what, I like the sound, the kind of two sounds together. I know I can't talk about music like a professional. Jonathan's professional, you're a professional, obviously. But I like that it has a little bit of a bass note to it that I would run to. That would be my beat to run to the truck. Mm-hmm. Yet it still has this like buoyant happiness.
Yeah, that was actually one thing that we noticed that ice cream trucks, is there's never bass in it.
Right.
Yeah.
And the trick of that was how do we keep a bass frequency when the speakers in the ice cream truck don't really hold bass frequency?
Right. It's not like they have the big rig in the back, right? They don't.
So they sent us a speaker to the studio.
Oh, so you could actually listen to it through an ice cream truck speaker.
And the engineer mixed it to that speaker.
Don't you think some trucks should now upgrade their sound system so they get some real bass in there, some real serious low frequencies?
That'd be cool, but no, it'd be yeah, it's subjective. It's not, you know what I mean? Some people be like,
that's true.
That's right. Okay, Rizza, we have a game for you.
Okay.
And we wanted to do something that we're pretty sure you've never done before. So this is a game.
I don't have to take my shirt off or nothing.
No.
Very, very clean. Unless you want to.
I mean, yeah, it's optional. So your game is called Is It a Lizard?
Okay.
So either we are describing a lizard or it is not a lizard.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll give it a shot. Here's your first one.
Australia's thorny devil is covered in spikes. It can capture water almost anywhere on its body. The water then travels across its skin through microchannels directly into its mouth. Is it a lizard?
That sounds like a sponge. Like a sponge.
It does sound
a sponge
like
in my sponge. Kitchen. The big green sponge. My wife, I tell her I don't like the big green ones, but she keeps coming on with the big green ones. So I'm going to say no.
I'm sorry, it is a lizard. Yes, it is a lizard.
Amalama.
Thorny Devil was not in the Wu-Tang Clan.
No, he didn't make it.
not the 11th member. Okay.
I get another chance, or I just blew
it?
You get many chances.
Oh, you have so many chances. Okay.
Here's another one for you. Coati can be found from Arizona to Argentina. Their darkly banded tails make up half their body length and are held erect as they walk. Coati are known to click and whistle while foraging. Is it a lizard?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm sorry, that is not a lizard. It's actually a member of the raccoon family. It has a long, flexible snout.
So how much money I lost here?
You lost $2 million. Each one of these was worth $1 million.
Okay, let's keep going so I can win something back.
Those are the only ones worth any money.
Okay. The okapi is very flashy. With its deep brown, almost purple body, white face, and black and white striped legs. Is it a lizard?
You know, that sounds like one of those strippers that I've seen. And I think I was in Austin. I like Atlanta, but that sounds like a bird though to me. So I'm gonna say no to that.
You are correct, it is not a lizard.
All right, I got one right. Getting my money.
It is, we don't know any of these, but we are learning. It is a relative of giraffes. It kind of looks like a deer mixed with a zebra.
All right, here's another one. This is the name of the animal. The horned toad thrives in dry climates from British Columbia to Guatemala and subsists almost entirely on ants. The horns are only part of a suite of defenses that include hiding in the sand, gulping air to inflate itself, and occasionally spurting blood from its eyes. It's called a toad, but is it actually a lizard?
That sounds like my drunk Uncle David.
The spurting blood from the eyes? Is that the part?
And the chocolate ants. But I'm going to say, yes, it's a lizard.
It is a lizard. Yeah. It is an inaccurately named lizard. That's right.
Now I knew that one because... as a kung fu guy, right, there's a kung fu technique called the lizard style. And I think they kind of use that guy as some of the techniques.
Oh, really? All right. Well, your kung fu knowledge came in handy, even in this dumb lizard
always
game.
Always does.
All right, we have two more for you. The Goliath bird eater is a 12-inch long Amazon predator that preys on rodents, frogs, and even birds. Ooh. Nasty. When roasted in banana leaves, it's a local delicacy that tastes a little bit like shrimp.
Whoa.
Is it a lizard?
I'm going to say no.
You are correct. It's a giant nightmare spider.
Well, the shrimp part is what got me. When you said, if you'd have said tastes like chicken, I would have said, yes, lizard. Tastes like shrimp. I was like, nah, that's not no lizard. They can't
lizards,
that.
There's no lizard that tastes like shrimp. No, everybody like knows that.
I mean, if lizards tasted like shrimp, we'd be eating a lot more lizards. That's all I'm saying.
Little lizard, right. Lizard scampi.
On a skewer.
All right, this is the last one.
Okay.
The Cuban night anole gets its name because it's from Cuba, and its large bony head resembles a chestnut. Is it a lizard?
You know what? They have a head like a knight. I'm going to say yes, it's a lizard, because they seem like a lizard would have that type of a head. But
you're right. That's totally a thing a lizard would do. You are correct. Yeah, it's it is a lizard.
Yeah, I can see a chest set now. I can see
an all lizard chess set.
Lizard chess set.
Oh yeah, you are
a big chess player. Do you have novelty sets?
Yeah, I do. I do have some beautiful sets. I've been blessed. Yeah, I have one set that my brother got me for my birthday, and he went all out. It was, you know, I mean, this set is, you know, it's like, I need security for this set.
Yeah. Are they though in the shapes of like the kind of classic?
No, these are Napoleon. It's the Napoleon wall.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
It's made out of pure gold and silver.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm like, man, no, thank you. Like my brother Divine, he's you know, he's CEO of Wu-Tang Production. He controls the money anyway, so
yeah, right.
Yeah, right. It's coming out of your pocket.
He's like, yeah, happy birthday to you. Yeah, happy birthday to you. this has been so much fun and just such an honor. Thank you so much, Rizzo.
Thank you, guys. It's been fun. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Peace.
RZA is the founder of the Wu-Tang Clan and director of the new movie, Cutthroat City. On September 24th, he's screening one of his favorite movies, Shaolin vs. Llama, and providing live commentary at 36cinema.com. That's our show. Ask Me Another's house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Hey, my name anagrams to Thou Jolt a Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by our staff, along with Ruth Morrison and Scott Ross, with additional material by Kara Weinberger. Ask Me Another is produced by Travis Larchuk, Nancy Seychow, James Sparber, Ramel Wood, and our intern, Sam Yellowhorse Kessler. Our senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal, and our boss's bosses are Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We'd like to thank our production partner, WNYC. I'm her ripe begonia.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, happy to hear you're still listening. And since you're still here, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review? We love to hear from you, and it helps others find out about our show. For additional information about new episodes, upcoming live shows, road shows, and bonus games, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks. Next time on Ask Me Another, Queer Eye's interior design expert Bobby Burke gives us his advice on how to instantly spruce up your living space.
Put a rug in the middle of the room. Bring your furniture into the middle of the room. That's, I think, the number one piece of advice I had to give people.
So join me on NPR's Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.